Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the wonderful things you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by AppletreeMediaWorks.com and the Operating Engineers Local 66, and we appreciate their support very much. Folks, I got to tell you, I'm excited. We've got Moms Rising, and of course, we have Kristen Ralph Finkbeiner. Kristen, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. So, I haven't talked to you for a while. What are you up to? What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. So much is going on. First of all, this coming weekend is the anniversary of the Women's Marches.
Yes.
Which were the largest marches in the history of our nation. Millions and millions and millions of people turned out at the main Women's March in Washington, D.C., where I was honored to be a speaker, and then also turned out at over 600 sister marches. So this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, there are marches all over the country. People can go to www.womensmarch.com or .org or ., I'm not sure what, but just Google Women's March.
It's probably one of each.
Yeah, probably one of each. I can try it on my computer while we're talking. And there's a map that you can click and find the marches near you, and it is awesome, spectacular, and important because we have to show Congress and Trump that we not only resist, we also persist, and we're going to persist right into the 2018 midterm elections. The theme is power to the polls, and I am so behind that theme, power to the polls.
There you go. And, you know, I got to tell you, you and I have had this conversation a couple of times, and I am absolutely positively sure that I am righteous with and right with 525 women running the Senate and the House. Okay, I think that we could probably get a lot more things done in a better way. But what it hasn't happened yet. But what's really cool about this cycle is how many women are running for office. It is just spectacular. And being a veteran, how many women veterans are running for office? And you know, I got to tell you. I'm pretty sure that F-18 pilot could take that. Yeah, she could take him. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so, she could take it. Did you see her ad?
Yes, yes, yes.
Everybody should Google the F-18 pilot's ad.
Yes.
Running for office. It is so inspirational. I was, like, ready to stand up, say the Pledge of Allegiance to her campaign and, you know, send her all my money.
And, you know, this is the kind of thing where, hey, you know what? Women, you know, I'm a guy and I'm ashamed, but women do, you know, moms do a wonderful job of making sure that everybody's taken care of.
You know what? It's not just you who thinks that. There was actually a recent Harvard University, I believe it was, study of all of the legislation, and they found that when women are elected to office, they pass more legislation more effectively than men. And also, Democrat and Republican women are more likely to pass legislation that lifts economic security of real people, not just corporations. And that's important because right now we have massive wealth inequality in our country. We have huge, huge, huge and growing gaps between the very wealthy and the rest of us, to the extent that one MIT professor recently said we're approaching third world nation economic status.
Right.
And so having those policies move forward that really amplify economic security for real people, for, you know, people of all income levels, not just the top 1%, is so important. And women, Democrat and Republican alike, are very much more likely to do that, according to, you know, third-party research analysts. But we're not asking for women to be all seats, all 101%, although I do personally think that would be cool. We're looking for parity, which is at least 50%, possibly 51% of the seats. And right now we're only at 20%. So we have
a situation
in America where people think 20% looks like 50%. It's not. We have a 30% gap.
Yes, I agree. And unfortunately, we still have, outside of unionized work environments, we still have a gap when it comes to pay equity for women in this country. And if you're a woman of color, if you're African American, it's worse. And if you're a Latina, it's even worse than that.
Yep,
we have got to do something. I got to tell you, one of the things that, you know, you and I were both entrepreneurial. We know a lot of people in business. One of the things that has always impressed me, and the statistics back this up, women, when running a business, will turn off the lights and do everything else to make sure that their people are still working. And, you know, when times get tough and when times are good, they spread the wealth. So this is one of the reasons why women's businesses, on average, do better the first 5 and 10 years than male businesses do.
Yeah,
because they take care of their people.
There was a Pepperdine University study of Fortune 500 companies over 20 years, two decades, and they found that the more women in leadership, the more corporate profits there were across all measures of profitability. And then there were other studies from the last economic recession, and they found that hedge funds with more women in leadership actually retained more money than those with men in leadership. So we see, you know, not only are women more likely to give back, there's some really great stories. I was wanting to look it up while you were talking about women-owned businesses in the recession. In the Depression, you know, way back when, who kept the lights on, kept neighborhood and communities going, even in the Depression. So this is a long-standing sort of trend with women business owners. But also, we just had this happen again in the recent recession. So you're right on. You're exactly right. Now, again, though, people get scared when they hear me talking like this. I'm like, Kristen, you want women to run everything. I want parity. So when we're looking at women in business, we have only 4% of Fortune 500 CEOs right now are women, only 4%. And again, when we're looking at our Congress, only 20% are women. So I'd be happy with 50%. I'm looking for the equality of all genders, not, you know, domination.
There you go. There you go. And you see, that's reasonable. It's rational. It makes good sense. And, you know, quite frankly, there's a lot of very good research that backs up the fact that it would probably help us all.
Yeah, totally. So interesting.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm for a better country.
I know. I mean, that's the whole thing. We're leaving so much talent on the table right now too often. And we're in a moment where clearly that talent is needed. I mean, we have a malignant Cheeto in the Oval Office, Donald Trump. I have taken to calling him the malignant Cheeto. Sometimes because it makes me laugh, I like to call him that. Sometimes because I'm so angry, I have to call him that. Either way, you know, clearly his leadership could use a little bit more guidance. What do you think, Charles?
I think he could use a little bit of adult leadership in there. And one has to ask.
It's a nice way of putting it, adult leadership.
Yeah, adult leadership. Where is his wife and why isn't she making him do the right thing?
I don't know. I wouldn't put this on her because she wasn't elected. You know, he was elected. And I have to tell you, I get a little bit mad when people say, let's target his wife and his daughters. And I'm like,
I'm not saying target them. I'm saying, yeah. You know what? She's probably got some influence with him.
Or maybe not. I mean, look at this.
Well, maybe not. Yeah, that's it.
I would not assume that, I guess is what I'm saying. I think it's sort of false hope to assume that people around him can influence him. I mean, he's got a revolving door in the White House with his staff, who he chose to be on his staff, his senior staff, to support his efforts. He does not seem to have any loyalty to anyone except himself from all outward appearances. So, you know, I'm just guessing on that one, but, you know, from looking at the revolving door. Have you read Fire and Fury yet, that new book?
I have not. Have you?
No, I read excerpts, and I was intrigued. I want to read it now, but, you know, it looks like that idea I just shared, that he's mostly aligned with himself, is underscored in that Fire and Fury book.
There you go. Well, you know, and I got to tell you, I'll tell you what, we got to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about, you know, some of the things that we keep seeing, keep hearing across the country, and see if we can't come up with some answers. But in the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter, and I'm talking with Kristen Ralph Finkbeiner of Moms Rising. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
A new report finds that access to SNAP benefits is linked to improved health and lower health care costs. The paper, published by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, compiles studies of the health status of low-income people who receive nutritional assistance through SNAP, formerly known as food stamps, and those who are eligible for benefits but not enrolled in the program. According to Bryn Keith Jennings, co-author of the report, those studies indicate that people receiving benefits are healthier and less likely to need medical services.
SNAP participants spend about 25% less per year than non-participants in healthcare costs. A similar study looked at seniors in Maryland and found that they were less likely to be admitted to nursing homes.
The Trump administration has proposed cutting SNAP by $192 billion over 10 years, but the paper suggests cutting benefits would harm health and raise healthcare costs. Some of the studies cited in the paper used data going back to the 60s when the food stamp program began. Keith Jennings notes that those studies found long-term health benefits.
Children who grew up in counties with food stamps grew up to be healthier than those who didn't. They're less likely to have, for example, metabolic syndrome, which is a cluster of diseases like heart disease.
About 70% of SNAP participants are in families with children, and a quarter are in households with seniors or people with disabilities. Other studies have shown that those who receive benefits are more likely to take their prescription medications. Keith Jennings fears that cuts would force more people to choose between food and medicine.
If they were to lose their SNAP benefits or get less in SNAP benefits, they might be forced to make that trade-off again, which could make it harder for them to be healthy.
She adds that SNAP benefits increase food security, help families purchase healthier foods, and free resources for health-promoting activities. For Keystone State News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Somos la Unión Internacional de los Panaderos, Confiteros y Trabajadores de Tabaco y los Molineros de Grano luchando por los trabajos americanos. Nabisco, fabricante de marcas icónicas como el Oreo, Ritz Crackers y Chips Ahoy, ha ganado la fortuna en América y su respuesta patriótica ha sido enviar los trabajos americanos a México. Como resultado, los consumidores en los Estados Unidos siguen boicoteando los productos hechos en México. Ingresos corporativos han bajado en todo Norteamericana, los consumidores están enviando un mensaje muy fuerte y claro. Ahora los líderes religiosos de todas las religiones a través de los Estados Unidos están pidiendo una investigación del modelo de negocio de Nabisco y han programado un tour de 6 ciudades para investigar el asunto de manera más profunda. En el mismo momento en que las negociaciones de NAFTA están en la mente de todos, la comunidad religiosa comenzará a hablar de los trabajadores, los políticos y otros líderes religiosos con la intención de discutir el exilio de trabajos por Nabisco desde una perspectiva moral y ética y publicarán ampliamente sus hallazgos. El BCTGM y su socio Justicia Obrera Interconfesional piden a toda la gente de fe y conciencia social que se unan a esta lucha contra la explotación por Nabisco de trabajadores en los Estados Unidos y México. Millones ya están boicoteando los productos de Nabisco hechos en México y ya está afectando sus ganancias de la empresa. Únase a nuestra lucha por la justicia moral y económica. Únase a nosotros en www.fightforamericanjobs.com. www.fightforamericanjobs.com.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the wonderful things you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Seafarers International Union and the Maritime Trades. We appreciate their support very much. Joining me today by phone, we've got Kristen Roth Finkbeiner of Moms Rising. Kristen, welcome back.
Hey, thanks again for having me.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. You know, you and I were just talking, and I just created a malady. You know, I've got carpal brain syndrome.
So, I definitely have carpal brain syndrome.
Yes.
There has been so much double, triple, quadruple tasking going on this year since Trump took office, and we have been resisting and persisting and writing and, you know, lifting lots of people to take action and opening avenues for people's voices to be heard, that all of that double, triple tasking has possibly given me carpal brain syndrome.
There you go. But yeah.
But I have some good news to share, actually.
Go ahead.
And I'll have to look it up, but Moms Rising has members in every state in the nation, right?
Yes.
So we are everywhere. And in the last year, we have been growing so fast. And I'm right now looking up our member growth numbers because I was looking at them yesterday, mm-hmm. and I have not memorized them because I fainted when I saw them. They were so good. And it's astonishing. So people really are coming together, rising up, taking action, having an impact. You know, moms and dads and people helped save healthcare twice. Recently,
yes.
You know, it's a big deal. Lots going on.
And you know, it's not just healthcare, but, you know, you and I and everybody that we know that's out there working hard, we've got other things we got to do. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We know that is an ongoing dogfight. We've got issues with DACA. I mean, 800,000 young folks in this country. They've got college degrees. They've got jobs. They're working. They're in the military. They're paying taxes. What is... I almost said something I shouldn't say, and I'm glad I stopped myself. But my question is why are we having to have this conversation? And I don't want any of the Trump appointees jumping up and saying, well, the Statue of Liberty doesn't promise that we're going to take these people. No, the American public for the last 250 years has said, we are going to take those people. And yes, there is a minority of people, a small minority, a small, ugly minority of people in this country that want to continue to try and push the, well, they don't look like me, so I don't want them here kind of stuff. And it's got to stop. And every time we collectively, every time we hear that, we have got to call those people saying these things on it and say, you know what? That's not appropriate. We all came from somewhere. And we all spent time in the breach when our forefathers and mothers came to this country. And it wasn't right the way we were treated. I'm not going to let it happen anymore. I've said my piece.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people are rising up. So if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed about this right now, know you're not alone and know that you have an entire force of a movement behind you. I mean, really, there are a tremendous amount of people rising up. I actually just pulled the numbers yesterday, also specifically on the number of Moms Rising members who have been reaching out and making constituent contacts on the DREAM Act, on DACA, on immigration, because we also have a situation with the TPS, temporary protected status, being mm-hmm. rescinded by Donald Trump, which is shameful and morally harmful and also economically destructive. But Moms Rising members, I'm so happy to tell you, not just because I'm excited about Moms Rising, which of course I am, but I'm excited about civic engagement. They've made over 251,235 constituent contacts just on immigration alone in the past several months. That is an incredible number of people. That is 5.5 times the number of people who were talking about taking action on immigration in our movement in the last year. Like, that is astronomical growth and movement building in support of what's written on the Statue of Liberty, you know, where we're welcoming people, and in support, frankly, of us all, because we know that America is strong because of our diversity. Our diversity makes us innovative, it makes us prosperous, and we are truly stronger together. And so people are rising up from all walks of life to support that vision, and I'm excited to share that with you.
There you go. This is a wonder. You know, Kristen, we've been doing this for a number of years together, and it's always fun and exciting, and it's always a high energy charged interview going back and forth. But the work that you guys do is just very, very important. And you're moving the needle. You're getting things done. And I am in awe sitting back watching my friend do these things and just hoping to help in any way I can, but giggling while I'm doing it.
Definitely giggle while you do it, and definitely it's not a you, it's a we. So,
yes, it is.
You know, it's you, it's me, it's everybody who's listening. It's one of the things that I think is important in this time is to sort of redefine what leadership is. People are busy. I mean, we have a family economic security policy crisis where 80% of low-wage workers don't have access to a single paid sick day, and people are working often more than one job just to make ends meet. So that leaves little time for political engagement. So when we look at leadership, leadership can be making a call to your member of Congress or your state legislature. It can be signing on to an online action. It can be sharing your story. It can be going in for a visit or attending a meeting. But we need all of us to stand up together, and that's happening, and lots of leaders are rising, and I'm super excited about that.
There you go. Just a quick question for you. I just came across something, and this is very interesting. Have you ever heard of a member of the House or Senate sending a letter to constituents saying, do not call me or send me any more letters?
I have heard some threaten to do that. I'm not surprised. I mean, I've spent a significant time in Washington, D.C. this year, and those phones are ringing off the hook. And one of the things that was my favorite moment was I was visiting many Republican member of Congress's offices on this ridiculous, awful tax proposal that they put forward and passed, which is like reverse Robin Hood, give to the wealthy, take from the rest of us. And what was so funny is the phones were ringing off the hook. They were complaining. They said, it's all of the business owners in our districts calling in because they hate this tax plan. And I was like, yes, the business owners even have it. Right. We hate the tax plan, too.
Yeah, so well, apparently Tom Cotton has gotten to the senator from Arkansas, has gotten to the point where he is sending constituents letters, don't call me or write me any more letters.
No. Office. This is Hello. Where we go back to power to the polls. You know, people are elected to public office to serve us, to represent us, and if they're not doing a good job, we can take them back out.
Yes.
That's the way democracy works.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, dude, this is probably defending the president over his S comments is what did it, because everybody knows you lied to him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another story, so. Well, hey, listen, Kristen, we're coming to the end of it. How do we find out more about you and Moms Rising?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you can go to www.momsrising.org. You can sign on for free. We are your service for telling you what's going on and where you can make an impact and, you know, sending you sample letters and things like that that you can send to Congress and phone numbers so you can make your voice heard. And then we're, of course, also on Twitter, at Moms Rising, and on Facebook, Moms Rising. So we welcome everybody. Anybody with a belly button. You don't have to be a mom in the moment.
Hey, wait a second. I lost my belly button in that horrific slide incident. Can I still join?
I still have mine.
Oh, okay.
I've been checking.
I'll borrow. All right. Well, hey, listen, thank you very much. We appreciate it. It is always a pleasure, and we look forward to talking to you here very soon.
Okay, you too. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, you too. In the meantime, that was Kristen Wild-Finkbeier of Moms Rising. And folks, I got to tell you, momsrising.org, great organization, great people, great team. Lots and lots of fun to work with. And we're excited. And yes, you will be hearing more of her. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter, and you're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.